Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Get in on. Luke chapter number 8, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's words. You pray for us today that the Lord would help us. Amen. We need Him. The devil will do everything in his power to get us turned in a different direction when it's church time. Amen. We need the touch of God this morning. And you pray for my mind today that the Lord will help it. And you say, well, why do you need prayer for your mind? There's a lot of people running around up there. Anybody ever said you had a split personality? There's more than one up there. I promise you that. There's about 47, and they're arguing the biggest part of the time. Amen. And you say you're crazy. I know I am. But if you commit me, I promise you, I'll be out within an hour. I've been, not that I was in that road, but I worked in that area. I better clarify that, hadn't I, Brother Brian? And I know all the answers to every bit of that, amen? But look what the Bible said, Luke chapter number 8, verse number 43. The Bible said, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. The Bible said in verse number 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she, was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, I want to look at this morning. I want to preach on this simple thought for just a little while. Excuse me, but I've got to have some help. Excuse me, she got through everybody else and got to Jesus. Excuse me, but I've got to have some help. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for being good to us. God, I thank you for mercy and grace today. God, thank you for loving us. God, you know the need of the service today. And God, I pray that thy divine will would be done. God, I pray that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated today. When you study this story in its entirety, you'll find that really we're jumping in to the middle of the story. Whenever you read the story in its entirety, you'll find that there is also a man that is seeking Jesus this same time. You'll find that his name is Jairus, and he is the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus is not seeking Jesus for himself, but Jairus is seeking Jesus for his daughter. Now, you'll find that his daughter is 12 years old, and she's sick and going to die if Jesus don't get to her. And Jesus begins making his way to Jairus' house to touch his daughter. And all of a sudden, out of this multitude of people that is there, there is this unnamed lady that shows up. It's interesting, Jairus is trying to get Jesus' attention for someone else. This lady is simply trying to get through the crowd without making a commotion and touch the hem of his garment. She wasn't interested in touching him for someone else, but she was interested in touching him for herself. Now, hear me and hear me well. It's all right, and we should touch Jesus for other people, amen? But there is times in our life where we have to quote-unquote forget about everybody else and realize that we have issues and get to Jesus for us. You know, a lot of times we're real good at hiding everything, are we not? We come into church on Sunday morning. We've got our suit on. We've got our tie on. We've got our dresses on. We've got a smile on our face when somebody says, "How are you doing?" Well, I'm doing good. Have you had a good week? Pretty much. But boy, deep down inside, a lot of times, the world's eating at us, and we push everything to the side, and we're just a bunch of, watch this word, hypocrites. Because we act like everything's under control, but really deep down inside, it's not. This lady had got to a place where she wasn't worried about anybody else. And Brother Rodney, if you're going to air conditions, that would be wonderful, man. Everything's on heat right now. Push them buttons and make it say air condition. I'm glad he's a good deacon. Did I tell y'all he's a good deacon and a good sound man? And he's a man. He'll wear pink. When you got six girls, you don't have no choice, do you, Brother Rodney? Watch this. This lady had got past worrying maybe what everybody else thought, and she comes to a place in her life where she says, "You know what, man? I've got to have some help for me." I thought about this. If you want to look at Jairus, he's well known. You look at this nameless woman, she's a nobody. Jairus probably has many friends and she has none. Jairus more than likely is very wealthy, but this lady has spent everything that she has. She don't have two pennies to rub together. I began thinking about this. This lady could have used all kinds of excuses to keep her from getting the help that she needed. Are we not masterminds in making excuses of why we don't? Well, you know, preacher, I can't go on visitation on the 26th because I just can't talk to people. But you're talking to me saying that. We make everybody okay right there. We make all kinds of excuses. I thought about this nameless lady. I'm headed somewhere. I thought she could have used the excuse of the crowd. The Bible says that there is much people there. She could have used the excuse of concern. And I began to think about this. She was considered dirty. She had an issue of blood. And you go study the book of Leviticus. She was not supposed to be around anybody. She was completely destitute. She had spent all of her living on physicians. She was considerably desperate. Why? Because she was looking for help from him. The multitude was relentless, but her move of faith was rewarding. And I want to say this to you. Before you ever come to the place you get help, you'll first have to come to the place you realize you need help. And I say that again today. Let me tell you the reason so many people never get the help they need. They never admit that they need help. Some people, Brother Matt, I talk to them every once in a while. And man, you can, after pastoring 18 years, you can see right through them. Oh yes, we've got it all together. Everything's all right, man. We're doing wonderful. And I'm thinking in the backside of my mind, you're about to lose your mind right now. Why don't you humble yourself in the presence of God and seek a thrice holy God and say, "Dear Lord, it's not somebody else, but it's me today. I need you. I need help today. I need help." One said this. I read this. Let me give it to you today. One said this. We could say it this way about her. Her failures could have kept her away. She had been disappointed by so many in times gone past. It would have been easy for her to give up any further efforts. She could have given in to hopelessness and said, "It is no use to try. Nothing has worked and nothing will." However, her faith overcame her failures and sent her to Jesus for success. What about her feelings? They could have kept her away. She certainly did not feel well. Think about this. She was already worn out from 12 years of suffering, and going to Jesus would take a strenuous effort to get there. She could have said, I'm tired. I do not feel like going today. Many people use fatigue as an excuse for their absence. Can I say that again? Many people use fatigue as an excuse for their absence. But her feelings could have kept her away, but her faith overruled her feelings and sent her to Jesus. What about her fitness? It could have kept her away. According to the Levitical law, she was unfit company for anybody else. She was unclean and condemned anything or anybody that was around her and touched her. No one should let their fitness keep them away from Jesus, because the truth of the matter is this, each and every one of us are unclean today. Each and every one of us are sinners today. Each and every one of us miss the mark every day. But what did she do? Faith overruled her fitness and sent her to Jesus. What about this? Her fears could have kept her away. What's everybody going to say about me? No doubt some knew who she was. Are you with me today? What's everybody going to say about me? How are they going to react towards me if I really do get to Jesus and I really do touch Him? What's Jesus going to say? How's Jesus going to treat me? What's Jesus going to say about me? But can I say this to you? Her faith outworked her fears and sent her to Jesus and found a hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. You may be here today thinking, man, if I really pour my heart out to God, what's God going to say about me? He already knows. He already knows. He knows everything that you've done. And you know what else? He knows everything you're going to do. He's all-knowing, is He not? He not only knows everything that I have done, but everything that I will do. And so many people allow their fear to keep them away from Jesus. What will the church say? What will Jesus say? Hear me and hear me well. The church should echo Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden. And if you're dressed right, and if you're walking right, and if you're listening to the right things, I'll give you rest. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I will give you rest. You'll not find rest in this world. You'll not find peace in this world. Don't allow your fears to keep you away from Jesus. I'm glad that if we'll get to Him, there's help and there's hope at the feet of Jesus. I thought about this. I'm going to preach to you in just a second, but I thought about this. How did she know Jesus was there? How did she know who Jesus was? How did she know it just wasn't some politician passing through that day and people was gathered all around because of that? Here's the way I think. According to Romans chapter number 10, the Bible said this, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. If you was to go back previously and what's going on in this chapter, you'll find that just before this takes place, there's a man that is demon-possessed. There's a Gadarean maniac. Jesus goes there to where he's at. He finds him in the tomb. You know what he does? He changes his life. The man goes home clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible tells us that it came to pass, verse 40, that when Jesus had returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. Here's what I think. It's just some barkerology. You can take it or leave it, but I'd take it if I was you. I think she heard. I think she heard. I think that it got back to her, the chatter, the gossip, if you want to look at it that way. It got back to her, and something like this was said. There was a man that was running around naked, that was cutting himself, that was laying in a graveyard. Everybody said there was no hope for him. They had bound him and he would break the chains. Are you listening to the preacher today? Oh, but Jesus went over there to where he was at. And when Jesus got over there to where he was at, Jesus spoke to him, and his whole life was changed. He went back home. He had his clothes on. He had his right mind. He sat down at the supper table with his family and told them what God had done for him. Maybe she began to hear that, and she thought within herself, boy, if he's done it for him, if he done it for him, I wonder what he could do for me. I wonder if he would... Oh, yes, I'm going to preach here in just a minute. I wonder if he would do it for me. I wonder. But you know what she had to do? She had to push all of her fears to the side. She had to push all of her faults to the side. She had to push everybody else's opinion to the side. And she had to determine, no matter what it took that day, she was going to get to where Jesus was. Well, she did. That's where y'all say amen. Okay, so let me back up and say that again. She did. Okay, now you're getting hold of this. She did. She got to where Jesus was at. Excuse me, I need some help. I need some help. Well, here's what I'm interested in the next 10 minutes. What was Jesus' response to her? Can I just say this to you today? Now, I'm going to need about 200 amens right here. I'm glad he don't respond like I do. I'm glad he don't respond like I do. I don't know. But I would guess that she probably touched some people trying to get there. You with me? No doubt there's probably some people. Man, they thronged him. There's a multitude. You study that out. It was easily hundreds, if not thousands. But she was determined, I'm going to get it. What did Jesus do when he got there? Can I show you three things? Just three simple things, and we're going home to eat. I don't know something. Number one, his sincerity in a shoving crowd. His sensitivity, let me say that again. His sensitivity in a shoving crowd. He was sensitive that somebody touched him. You think about this. If everybody stood up in here and we all got on this platform and just went to walking back and forth, all of us piled up on it, you know what? You're going to get touched. And you're probably not going to know who did. I remember... two times. I hope that it never becomes three times. I remember two times we went to Disney World. And Brother Randy, at Disney World, we went in off season. You with me? And I'll never forget, we walked into Magic Kingdom, Miss Debbie, the first time. And I was like, dear Lord, if this is off season, anybody know what I'm talking about? If this is off season, I'd hate to be here in peak season. And everywhere you walked, people was touching you. Everywhere you went, every line you went to, every step almost you took, somebody was touching you. Now, here is the center attraction. What everybody is running to, what everybody is going towards, he is the center attraction. No doubt his disciples has tried to gather around him, maybe as his quote-unquote secret service to keep him safe, because they did want to kill him, by the way. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and goes, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody touch me. You can even hear the disciples as they talk to him. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Can I just say this to you? In the midst of the crowd, aren't you thankful that when we need him, he's sensitive to our touch? Jesus didn't have to listen to her. Jesus, I don't think y'all are getting what I'm saying. Jesus didn't have to take time for her. Look at all the other people around. Have you ever went to praying before and you thought, I wonder how many more is praying right now? I wonder how many more is trying to talk to God right now? I wonder how many more is trying to get His attention right now? I think about some of the little kids around here. And when you go to playing with one of them, I'm talking about the 1, 2, 3-year-old. You go to playing with one of them, you know what happens? All the others will come running around and pushing on you. You know what they're doing? They're trying to get your attention. They want your attention. You ever thought about this? How many times the thousands and even millions of people that are saved by the grace of God that's trying to touch a throne room of God, and all of a sudden we say, Lord, I need some help. I sure am thankful that He is sensitive to the touch that's around Him. Number one, His sensitivity in a shoving crowd. Number two, watch this. His strength for a single claim. His strength for a single claim. I'm headed to the very last point, but watch this. The word translated virtue means power. The words of Jesus did not mean that the woman drew from His power without His permission. In His perfect knowledge, Jesus was fully aware of her approach and of her act. He wanted to make it clear in her mind that the healing was not in the garment, but in God. The cure was not in the clothes, but in the Creator. The power that came to her came from Him. Only one in the crowd really touched Jesus, and He sent out His strength for a single claim. He is strong to many who call upon Him and to any who call upon Him. I began to think about this. He sent out His touch. He sent out His healing for a single claim in the midst of a multitude. Evidently, there wasn't but two that was really wanting help, because He takes time to talk to Jairus and go towards Jairus' daughter's house. And He takes time to talk to this nameless woman that's had an issue of blood for 12 years. But aren't you thankful that in the midst of chaos, that even though, listen to what I'm fixing to say, that even though your need may seem trivial to everybody else, it may seem like that it should be on the back burner of everybody else, aren't you glad that we've got a God today that a single claim catches His attention? Oh, yes. Yesterday, friend, I'm glad that when I go to Him in my time of need, I'm glad that He singles me out in that. I thought about this, His sensitivity in a shoving crowd, His strength for a single claim. But here's really what I want to show you today, His salvation for a searching crippled. His salvation for a searching crippled. This lady is... Come start playing, if you don't care, Miss Tanya. Forgot her name for a second. This lady, for 12 years, has had an issue of blood. For 12 years, some people think, I personally don't, I'm not going to argue the fact with you, I don't think this is Jairus' wife. Some people think that it is. Some people think that this came on her after the child was born. Because the child's 12 years old, the lady's had an issue of blood for 12 years. But I personally don't think that for a couple reasons. I don't think she would have left her daughter after her husband had left too and went to Jesus. And I don't think Jairus would have kept his wife from getting the help that she needed also. Because he wants to move on, Jairus does. This lady, for 12 years, she's been in the mess that she's in. 12 years. Everywhere she went, people didn't want nothing to do with her. Matter of fact, if you'll study the Levitical law, if anybody touched her, they're supposed to be unclean for 7 days. The stress that she's been under, the burden that she's carried, the load that she's carried for 12 years. 12 years, that's where she's been to. But when she got to him, Jesus was sensitive to the shoving crowd. And Jesus gave strength to a single claim. Why? Because there was a searching cripple that needed salvation. Let me tell you her biggest problem in closing today. You with me? I've read this. Let me tell you her biggest problem. She went to Jesus last. She tried everything else. She went to every doctor, psychiatrist. She went everywhere. She literally spent every dime she had. Her whole living, she spent it trying to get help. You ever met anybody like that? They look for everything else. They've got an issue. And can I just take it a step further? It's a blood issue. They've got an issue of blood. It started in Genesis chapter number 3 when Eve sinned for the first time and sin entered into the world. Every individual has a blood issue. They have a issue of blood. My blood is corrupt. My blood is vile. My blood is unclean. Oh, but in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he said that someone was going to bruise the head of the serpent and the heel of the Savior. You know what happened on Calvary that day? My issue of blood got taken care of because it was unrighteous. You hear me? All of us, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But on Calvary, he that knew no sin. Now, I'm about to come in for a landing if you'll help me. If not, I'll preach another hour right here. He that knew no sin, never sinned the first time, never messed up the first time, never said the wrong thing. He that knew no sin became sin. Why? So that I could be made the righteousness of God through him. You see, I did have a blood issue, and I did try to find help everywhere else. Oh, but thank God for the night that I realized that I had to push everybody else to the side and every other thing to the side. And there was but one that could touch my issue of blood, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Her biggest problem was this. She went to him last. So I say this in closing. Quit trying to find help everywhere else. Quit trying to find help from everywhere else. You ever been reading something? Maybe a SOG or your workbook at work, and you're reading through it and you see something, you go, man, that's dumb. You know, usually the reason stuff like that's in there, because somebody done it. You hear me? Man, that's dumb. Come on, somebody say amen. Because somebody done it. Well, you know what? If the woman with the issue of blood was here today that God healed, and you're looking for everything else, you're trying to figure everything else out on your own, we've got a handbook that's already been written, and she'd look at you and go something like this, man, that's real dumb. All you got to do, all you got to do is push all of your feelings to the side, all your emotions to the side, all your fears to the side. All you've got to do is look unto him that is the author and the finisher of our faith, and put your faith in him, and there will be salvation for a seeking crippled. She waited for the very last thing, when she should have went to him very first thing.